live more peacefully. To pray more seriously. To worship more enthusiastically. To celebrate more joyfully. To sing more faithfully. To give more generously. To serve more compassionately. If you would join me, the hymn, My Hope Is Built. So teach us new things, Lord, as we came in here this morning. May we open our hearts and our minds to learn from you and to leave here different than when we walked in. We invite you into our hearts and our minds to do a work, to have your way, help us sort through all the things that we surrender to you. Lord, we thank you for the new baby's arrival. We ask that you would be with all the doctors. Lord, we do ask that you would be near to her in any anxiety she may have. Lord, is wiped away because you are with her, bending over her, watching this precious baby being born. Lord, we also pray for the unspoken. You know what that is. And Lord, we ask that you meet in that unspoken request in the way you know to meet that. We trust you with that, Lord, and we look to you to be that safe place to say, here, Lord, we give you this. And in that, know that you are Lord and you are God. And that you will have your way and will be done. Thank you for this time of worship. We commit it to you. And it's in your, oh, and we pray for April. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. was able to be there with her to help her during those tough times. We thank you for her continued healing. Lord, we are grateful. We are thankful that she can drink a glass of water and enjoy it and not be nauseated by it. Lord, continue to heal. Continue to give her strength. And we thank you. Thank you. You were there before she got there. You were there while she was there, and you are there now. Thank you. Thank you, God. And it's in your name we pray, as you taught the disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And if we could pray for the offering, we'll have a prayer. Lord, thank you that we can never, never outgive you. You give so abundantly to us. And may we, with a cheerful heart, give abundantly to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
teenagers in the congregation kind of say it with him, because he says, I am but a man called to be a servant. And may your many words, may mine fall away, and may yours be what comes forth. And I preached at in Pinckneyville a couple weeks ago, and I kind of said, I am but a woman called to be a servant. But I heard the bishop, he was talking about someone opening the prayer before he preached, and he said, Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. So let's pray. Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our Lord. Amen. Well, I found an article about preaching, about sermons, and in the Reformation time, the sermon was a point of contention, because the people in the pew and the people in the pulpit judged the time frame a little different. A sermon would go on for 3 hours, and the people said that's just too long. So what they started doing is they would put an hourglass in the pulpit. And preachers would just go on and on. Thomas Cranmer said an hour and a half would be plenty of time. John Calvin said a preacher needs to stop when he is tedious. So the sand ran out in about 48 minutes, because the people who made the hourglasses were more sympathetic to the people in the pew than the people in the pulpit. I have no intention to go that long. In fact, a three-hour sermon. I have a lot of respect for people who preach. It's a lot of work. It's not like you just sit down and you just start writing. I mean, the Lord does speak to you in that way, but you're studying, you're researching, you're looking at other scriptures, you have books, you have commentaries, and it's a joy. But it is kind of intimidating to me, and I was struggling a little bit with the Lord about it, and I found this quote, and it said, a sermon is an act of love, not punditry. Now, I had to look up that word. What does punditry mean? Giving your opinion about a subject because you know a lot about it. That's not why I'm up here. I'm up here because a sermon is an act of love. And Don, myself, and April want to walk alongside and love you well and be in community. So that gives me peace. I need to ask, what brings you here this morning? We all come with different needs. We all have different longings of the heart. Some of us are rejoicing over exciting news, a baby, maybe a promotion in a job, maybe there was a relationship that healed. We can come and we can rejoice. But there's also people here, as St. John wrote, at a place of the dark night of the soul. Maybe there's an emptiness, a loneliness, a struggle, even a question of, where are you, God? I need to know you're here. So whatever brings us here, may God meet us right here, right now, in the depth of our hearts. May he bring healing to our broken or fractured hearts. Some background into Psalms 46. I love this psalm. This psalm is Israel's boast in the greatness of God in the midst of earthquakes, hurricanes, and wars. It is a psalm deliverance, his power that takes us away from things beyond our control. Gordy, you read that. You have a good voice to read scripture. And the fact that we're standing, just as we read God's word, is, I have to have Kleenex because I cry a lot. So I just get emotional about all this. But anyway, it is said the writer is living through a time of war, conflict, and personal strife. This is to encourage the children of Israel to stand in the strength of the Lord. As we come here today, may we be encouraged to loosen our grip, to stop fighting in our own strength, allow God to take his rightful place as Savior and Deliverer. Bless your holy word. In Psalms 46, it has a separation three times by a pause. Selah. A pause for contemplation. Deep reflective thought. Think on these things. Martin Luther called this psalm the Psalm of Holy Confidence. It is said when Luther heard any discouraging news, he would say, "Come, let us sing the 46th song in concert, and then let the devil do his worst." Holy confidence in what God's word says. I'd like to go over it and read it in three parts. We're going to pause where it says Selah. And Psalms used to be sung. They used to sing the song. So, lucky for you, I'm reading it. There's parts, though, I want to belt it out in song because it's rich. It's full of richness. But 1-3. God is our refuge and strength. Always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when the earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. And strength. Refuge. A place to hide for safety. Proverbs 18:10, one of my favorite verses. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. He is our place to go when we are afraid. Selah. Think on these things. Is the Lord my refuge? Is the Lord my strength? Is he my place to go to when I am afraid? Do I believe he is ready to help? Verses 4-7. A river brings joy to the city of our God. And in one commentary, it said that is clear, cool, fresh should or like I thought it would. But he gives me that reassurance that he is my stronghold, that he is my refuge. Verses 8 through 11. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. And this is when I want to belt out, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Yes, the Lord of Heaven's army is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. The known verse, be still and know that I am God, reminds other versions. The English Standard Version is be still. The New American Standard Bible says cease striving. The Contemporary English Version says, our God says, calm down and learn I am God. The Message Bible says, step out of traffic. Take a long look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. It also reminds me of another verse in Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Verse 10. The psalm is written in third person until verse 10 and is written in first person. It seems to be saying, snap out of it, wake up, stop fearing. Silas Balrig with Compassion Project says, it's a picture of loosening or slackening our grip on our circumstances and the outcome of our circumstances. We hold so tightly to things, and God is saying, hey, slacken up. Loosen up or let go of your grip. God is telling his people, stop fighting. They will see that I will be honored by every nation and honored throughout the world. And I looked into the Lord of Heaven's armies. Exactly what does that mean? And that can also be translated as the Lord who is the strongest all is with us. The strongest of us all is with us. As Kidner says, God speaks, be still. A rebuke to a restless and turbulent world. Quiet. Selah. Sacred few moments is your spiritual rhythm? When you pray, when you read His Word. I was listening to a podcast, and the lady shared that when I go to bed, I fall asleep by quoting Psalms 23. And when I wake up, the words on my mouth are the Lord's Prayer every day. And she said that has really helped her get into the spiritual rhythm. Some quotes that I like: without solitude, no serious work is possible. Picasso. Ann Voskamp, who's one of my favorite authors. If you ever want to look into any of her books, they're incredible. Until you get quiet, you can't know what your heart needs to confess. Psalm 61:2. I went to Honduras. It was a while ago. And we went to work with sex trafficked teenagers. And there was a time when we were in the park. And some things went down that were a little scary. But Psalm 61:2 said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And we were on that rock, and God saw us through. Emily Freeman said of her spiritual rhythm, I know I've heard from God when I don't feel ashamed and I don't feel afraid. I sit down and I say, Lord, I'm not getting up till you bless me. Just like Jacob did. And Jacob walked out with a limp, and sometimes I walk out with a limp. But as in the story we learn of Mary and Martha, which sometimes Martha gets a bad rap, but Mary's posture were to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen and lean into Him. God is our refuge. God is our stronghold. We can run to Him when we are afraid. And He is there. If we can sing the song, I need thee every hour. I looked into what this hymn, who wrote this hymn, and the woman who wrote this hymn said, I was in my house and I was cleaning and I just felt such the presence of God that I was overwhelmed to sit down and put these words on paper. So if we, is this the